Welcome to the Friendship Quest, where we'll answer all your questions, or we'll do our best to figure it out. Let's give it a try, and we'll keep on going until we die.
Until we die! Hello, and welcome to the Friendship Quest, a podcast that is known for its variable mic quality. That's all. Yeah.
That's all that we're known for. Lovely.
I don't know what we're most famous for, and that intrigues me. So if you have an idea of what we're famous for, let us know. And if we don't get a response, we'll assume we're not famous.
Well, we're not, so... Oh. That's very likely.
I don't
likely.
Look at the numbers. I just assume we have adoring fans wherever we go.
Well, you know, we're getting daily listens. That's
and
pretty
that's
sick.
All that matters to me.
Yeah. How are you, John?
I'm okay. I'm in the middle of moving house, so it's been a lot.
Yep.
But you know, we're still dedicated to bringing a podcast to this.
Always. Well, you weren't so dedicated
always.
Last week, were you?
clearly not as dedicated as I should be.
No. Yeah.
No, but we're here now, and that's what counts.
Woo.
Let's get on with the show. What have we got? We did not post a TikTok, or Katie did not post a TikTok, so we have no
because
TikTok comments.
I'm a busy person.
We're
too.
All busy too. That's okay. But we do have some lovely emails. In fact, one lovely email in particular from Jack, who was the commenter of one of our previous questions, the internet question, which we began answering, and we'll do a part two to eventually, in a few weeks maybe. We'll see. But he says, thank you for answering my question, or at least beginning to. My biggest pet peeve is people that talk too quietly, you can't hear them. I hate when people are happy or angry, but then don't show any facial emotions. This may just be because of my theatrical side. Your podcast is great. Not going to lie, I have just reached all the episodes over the last 2 days, which is intense. And he
that
says,
is
thank
a
you.
Lot.
That is a lot. But thank you very much for your email, Jack. That's very kind of you to say. And we are very pleased to begin answering your question, and we will continue to do so. Maybe next time.
Yeah, we will. At some point. Not this episode, though, because we need to like make sure we really understand what we said in the last episode so that we don't just repeat it.
Study up our previous work.
Yeah, revise. Get the cue cards.
What do you think about his comment? The biggest pet peeve is when people talk too quietly, you can't hear them.
I get told I do that sometimes at work, and I just don't agree. I'm quite a loud person.
I don't know, yeah.
I don't think I'm too quiet.
What
I'm very good
is...
at projection.
Yes. Or I hate when I'm told I'm mumbling, when I don't think I'm mumbling.
It's been more of a struggle with masks.
Yes. Oh, that's true, you know.
Because I swear I'm talking at a very reasonable volume. And then they'll be like, oh, I can't hear you speaking too quietly. And I'm like, I don't think I am. So.
And everyone has different hearing ability. And sometimes it's hard, you know. It's difficult.
There you go again. Being a nice person, not judging people.
I'm just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, y'all.
I know
you are.
It
goes two ways.
And I respect you for that, you know.
Thank you. I think it's a good balance.
That's not me, but...
Okay. Well, what about when people are happy or angry, but they don't show it on their face?
That's a strange one.
I don't know. I guess, you know, it's not always appropriate to be really, really happy or really, really angry in any particular situation.
I just think I don't care.
You don't have to show it to anyone. You don't... I don't know.
For you to know if that person was happy or sad, they've had to express that to you in some way, right?
I think if it's a situation where you're like, oh, why don't you look happy? Or like, are you happy? And they're very straight-faced and they say yes. It's like, you don't really know what's going on inside.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a difficult one to ever know whether someone might just be lying to you or, you know, have a reason to dismiss you.
I know it would annoy me if somebody was like, ooh, why don't you look happy?
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
So, I don't personally agree with that one, but...
we all wear masks.
I would need some further explanation to fully understand the situation where it would arise.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a specific situation you have in mind, but I'm not sure what it is. But yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I can see that. Well, people are complicated, and you know, sometimes we can't read them, and it's frustrating.
True, true, true.
Right, continuing on, we have no other immediate pressing concerns or questions. So please
No, and that's my fault, so, you know.
That's okay. Hey-ho. That's okay, you know. Everyone's busy. It's okay. Don't blame yourself too much.
Shut up.
So, yes, please send us more emails at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com or on Katie's TikTok at KTHBTheatre, where hopefully we'll have a video up at some point for you to post
We'll have a video up, will we, John?
Katie will work very hard to post a video.
I'd like to see you make one. That's all I'm saying.
I'll post it to my TikTok, but no one will see it. Oh, dear. Well, Katie.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Oh, do you?
You know when you you're squeezing ketchup out of the bottle?
Right.
Where do you squeeze the ketchup from? Where do you squeeze the bottle to get the ketchup out?
The place that gets the most out. And if you're about to compare this to toothpaste, I am going to actually murder you.
All right, I'll just so you're aware, in the background.
I just feel like I should put that out into the universe, that if you are about to link this to toothpaste, you will not survive this night. So yes, John, where are you going with this question?
I just thought it was an interesting question. But, you know, it's not the topic for today's podcast or anything.
It's different to toothpaste.
Okay.
It's different to toothpaste.
We can agree to disagree.
A ketchup bottle pops back out again.
Yeah. It's true.
So you can squeeze it from anywhere and then it will go back to its original shape. Toothpaste tubes do not do that. That's my comment.
Okay.
Moving on.
I just want to say... Okay. We'll move on. What's our question today?
Our question today is... What is the best age? What is the best age to be? When are you at your fullest? Living life to its full potential. When are you really embracing live, laugh, love, you know?
And obviously, no, thank you. Well, that's a certain age, but far beyond us, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing as well, is we have not lived full lives yet.
No.
we've lived mayhaps a quarter of a full life.
Yeah. But we'll never know.
We'll never know how much of our lives we've lived. That's so sad.
Why is that sad?
Getting into morbid territory there. I don't want to die at 40.
Oh.
I'm already halfway through then.
Yeah, true. I was referring to that, but I was also referring to the fact that we don't know, like, how old we are going to get, like, at the other end of the spectrum. You know, people are getting older.
Yeah,
we could be hundreds.
Yeah, of course.
Ugh. Horrific.
We could be, dodecagenarians, or whatever you call them. I don't know.
Yeah, what?
120 years old.
My goal in life is to have lived through three millennium. No, not millenniums.
I want to make it to 101, I think, and then we'll be,
because we are the best generation
in the year 2000
to get to 2000. And
what year will it be? 2100. Yeah, 2100.
Yeah,
because then you'll have lived through three centuries, two
centuries,
millennia.
That's it. That's what I'm after. Centuries.
Yeah. Three whole centuries, which is potentially unique feat. I don't know. I don't know if people lived to 100 in 1899.
Exactly.
Pretty
cool.
I think
we're going to do it, you know. That was very optimistic for me. That was slightly out of character. I don't know what just happened, really, and I apologise to everyone who's listening.
You just suddenly had a reason to live that long and it confused you.
It's never happened before.
That's my dream.
Anyway, back to being... myself, Returning to my natural form for a second, this question feels like it fits me very well because I feel ancient. At 22 years old, I feel like I've lived through it all. It's done.
We've certainly lived through, you know, fair share of historical events.
But
then someone's pointed out to me that, you know, everyone lives through historical events. They just don't seem as important when you weren't around to experience them.
I don't care about that, though.
I think...
As a person, I just feel old.
That's fair enough.
And
I think the pandemic has aged us all in some ways.
Also true. But, I mean, I say in front of children quite a lot about how old I am, and they'll be like, all right. I get a mix of reactions. I get some kids who are like, oh, wow, you're really young, because they don't expect me to be that young working the job I am working. And then I get some kids who think I am actually old and decrepit.
Yes.
You know, there's no in between. And I've had a few interactions recently where a child will ask, what year were you born in? And I'll say, oh, 1999. And the look of horror that takes over their face is something that has aged me maybe 20 years, because they just react like I am actually a walking fossil, because I dared to be born in a different millennium.
Yes, 1999. It's, I mean, as impressive as it will be to live through three centuries, which we will do, optimism. It does, I imagine, to someone born post-2000 makes it sound that much older, which is strange.
And then on the reverse of that, anybody born after 2000, which is a lot of people considering I was only born the year before that.
Yeah.
Anybody after that point, I struggle to understand the fact that you are not a toddler, which is strange. That's a strange concept.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like you're too young.
Especially... if you were born after 2010.
Oh, unacceptable.
What is going on there?
2010, for reference, is the year that we would have joined secondary school.
Secondary school.
Yeah.
And now people who were born in 2010 are at secondary school.
Which is uncomfy.
Ew.
Not good.
So, I have issues there.
You got age issues. Like us all, maybe. Well, you know, we're 22. That's all we can say.
Yes.
Beyond this point, it's all speculation.
True.
We might have lived through the best bit. We might not have reached it yet. I think I know which one you think it is.
I hate the whole thing, though, where everyone's like, oh, this time of your life is going to be the best time of your life, which is ironic because we're literally answering that question now. So we are now becoming those people. But I hate, especially around uni, there are so many people who are like, first year of university is going to be the best time of your life. You'll never forget it. That's where you peak. And it's like, well, when I had my first year of university, it was probably one of the worst points in my life. I didn't enjoy first year at all. And then having people tell you, well, that's going to be it, that's going to be the peak, is like,
oh no.
If the year that I got hit by a car is my peak in life, it's not going to go well for me from this point on, is it?
To be fair, those people didn't know you were going to get hit by a car, but yeah, fair
enough.
No,
but the point it's also like... maybe for you, like, that was the best time in your life because that environment suits you better. But I'm not going out clubbing every night. That's not my ideal, you know? I want to be settled down with my friends.
Yeah, I should point out you're talking about the royal you and not me going clubbing.
Sorry, yes.
That sounded strange, but yeah.
But yeah, and it's just so dependent on you. And so I think just putting it out there, when we talk about what we theorize is going to be the best time of your life to live, for us.
Yeah.
Right?
And no one else.
No one else. Get out. With this question, we're not answering your question. This is only for us.
We are John and Katie and we speak for no one. That's our brand. That's what we're famous for. Figured it out. So let's start from the beginning, because I hear on the grapevine it's a very good place to start. And would you say, you know, preschool, toddler years, is that pretty good?
Absolutely.
Loved it.
Do you see their little faces? Look at, right, if you have like a toddler in your family, just watch them waddle around with hope in their heart. And just think how you've lost that along the way.
If you've lost it, let's just say.
Nobody can have that same innocence and naivety that a toddler has.
True, but they also cry a lot. Like,
yeah, but they don't understand.
To upset them. Yeah, but
no, but
is
are
that,
they actually
that...
upset, or is it just a natural response?
I think your argument here is ultimately going to be like, ignorance is bliss. They're innocent. They don't know what's going on. Knowledge has aged you.
I'm not going to argue that it's the best time of my life because, frankly, I don't remember it. And I think that's sad. Do you know what? I think that's the saddest point about living that part. You're going to forget it. How traumatic is that?
That's the cinch of it, isn't it? That's going to stop it being the best because you never remember it.
Yeah, and like, you're hanging out with these kids. I'm hanging out with my niece and nephew when they were babies. And it's like, oh, this is so cute. I'm glad I'm spending time with them. But also, they're never going to remember this. What's the point?
Is that... Yeah, okay. I mean, fair enough.
Lovely memories for me, but what they don't... They're great. They've forgotten me. Woohoo.
Well, you'll remember. And they'll remember... They'll, like, that builds the foundation of their relationship with you. And, you know, they'll remember how they felt. And when they see you again, they'll feel those things. No?
Will they?
And maybe one of them will become a core memory at some point. Maybe that time you spent with them, they loved so much, they will. Because do you remember things
not
from
when
your...
you're a baby?
Okay, baby, sure. But, you know. But do you remember, what was your earliest memory? That's a good question.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I have very few, but I feel like I just remember going to, like, a farm when I was 3. It could
the
have been constructed
is...
from a photo or something.
Yeah, exactly. That is the problem. We're so good at constructing images in our head. So, like, I have loads. Yeah. I've got hours of footage of me as a baby up until, like, I don't know, 5? That sort of age, I've got loads of footage of it. And I used to watch it all the time because it's so cute. And I think I had just a fascination with, like, that's me.
Yeah.
And I can't remember it. And it's so interesting seeing me react to all those things. So in my head, I'm thinking about all those events. And I don't feel like I have memories of them. But at the same time, I do. Oh, well, I feel like one of my earliest memories is of, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, doing that French play of Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh yeah.
Because I was properly young and I can picture doing that. So that's like early primary school. I reckon that's one of my earliest.
Yeah, I have a few distinct memories from like nursery reception year one. This is the British education system, but I don't know if that translates. I don't know how old you would be there, like 4, 5, 6, I guess. And like those moments in school I sort of remember.
Yeah, I do have a few like primary school
memories. And that just definitely wasn't the best. That just definitely wasn't the best.
Do you not think?
No, absolutely not. I was just such a little idiot,
I don't agree.
You know?
Yeah.
Didn't know anything.
I think about like, well, also like I was quite annoying at that age. If I had to teach myself, like
if
7-year-old me walked into a classroom, she would annoy me.
Oh
right?
Yeah. Oh, I'd annoy myself too, yeah.
So that's, you know, I'm thankful that I've grown out of that at 22 years old. Woohoo, progress. But I do think I have some, like, amazing things that I did at, like, 7 years old. Me and my parents always joke about the fact that around that sort of time, there are loads of things that we did. And if you ask, oh, how old were you when I did that? I always say 7.
Oh, really?
I can't possibly have done all of those things when I was 7 years old.
But it's just the default age, yeah.
Either I had the best year ever when I was 7, or I've got very confused along the way.
That's a difficult one. I couldn't necessarily say what age I was. I only can tell by like what year in school I was, you know? That's quite a good marker for memory.
I would do that with secondary school, but not primary school.
I can do it with some primary school memories. I don't have loads of memories from that age outside of school. I think school helps me keep track of it.
Yeah, good point.
Which is interesting. Obviously, most of your time as a child is spent in primary school, and maybe you remember a few holidays or something, but it's difficult. Yeah. I just have such a... All through primary school, I just had such a feeling of I want to be older. Like, I always felt like that up to a certain point, because I just felt like I couldn't... I don't know. All of the coolest toys or games, or, like, just watching the older kids play whatever game, video game they were playing or whatever it was. It was like, I can't do that yet. I can't wait until I can do that. Or, like...
I feel like, you know, I had that feeling when I was older than that. I don't think I cared about that when I was in, like, primary school. I didn't care about being older necessarily. I was just having a great time. But around... So there's definitely a time in my life where I was like, oh, I just can't wait to be older. And I think that was around secondary school.
Okay. Interesting.
Because I feel like the early years of secondary school are so confusing.
Yes, definitely.
Like, who are you
as
a person? I don't understand myself, and I don't quite understand the world yet, but also I have too much information about those things, and you can't comprehend
it all.
And it's just like, oh, I want to be out of this now. I just want to understand myself a little bit more.
It's such a strange position, because you've been given a taste of, like, being a grown-up, or, like, you know, by the time you get to the top of elementary school or primary school, you suddenly feel a lot more important and older, but then you suddenly drop down immediately when you transition to the next stage of your education. And I don't know, it's confusing. I think, yeah, I sort of bumbled through the first few years of secondary school. I feel like I was relieved to feel older, in a sense, and I had more agency to do more things I enjoyed, but I didn't feel fully comfortable with that until, you know, the later years when I was like 15, 16, where I finally developed a sense of, actually, this is who I am. I can do all these things. And suddenly, I was the cool kid playing with all the cool video games and making all the other younger kids jealous, except they weren't jealous because they were probably already
cooler than me. All your dreams came true.
Effectively. So maybe that was the best age. Oh, no, actually, it wasn't.
No. I think I would say the worst age for me so far.
So pessimistic.
I'd like to think that would remain the worst part, but has been around 13 to 15.
Okay, yeah.
The awful.
Mm.
So much going on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I hated how I looked at that point as well, which just affects so much of your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so around about 16 is where I really got more confident in how I looked, because I just sort of worked it all out. Made it so much better. And also just mentally, like, coping with everything. Yeah. And my school was very stressful, so that wasn't helpful.
Yes.
And it's just horrific. What a horrific time. I'm so sorry if you are dealing with that time in your life right now and you're finding a struggle with it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people do.
I think by the time I really enjoyed sixth form a lot. So this is year 12 and 13, when you're 16, 17, 18, the end of high school, I guess, in America. Once the sort of lower stages had been done, suddenly I felt more like a person, had more agency. But then, the school I went to as well was quite strict. So it's sort of like it was a weird compromise between this freedom and being, I don't know, it felt like the most free I'd been, it was the most happy I'd been, but still wanted to escape more. And so it was like 2 years of like this awkward in between. And then finally university felt like a much freer experience for me. And I was very fortunate to, you know, find good friends and enjoy my course and not get hit by a car. So, you know, it was a pretty good first year. And it got better as it went on as well. It wasn't the first year that was the best for me either.
I can definitely vibe with that about sixth form.
Yeah.
Because having that freedom, being the top of the school, I was a much better just person. You're vibing with yourself a little bit more by that age, I feel.
Absolutely.
It's definitely still room to grow, But the problem is that last year of school, I had a lot of issues with my friends.
Yes, yeah.
Which you know, ruined a lot of that, which was sad. And I don't have a lot of happy memories from that year because of that. But, you know, there are plenty of moments that were really, really good. And so I do think it could have been a really good time in my life if I just hadn't had those issues.
Yeah. You know? And it's unfortunate because, you know, we say what's the best age, but everyone is going to have particular personal struggles at any one point. Yeah. And you can't say, you know, oh, being seven's the best, because that could have been you know, the worst of your year of your life for something else.
But that's why I'm saying, like, I do think if I hadn't had those things going on, sort of 17, 18 would have been a really good age to be. Good. So much, like, so many good things are happening and you're getting so much more freedom. And then first year of university, like, there were really good things about it. And as the year went on, I enjoyed more and more. First term was horrific. But I was unfortunate once again. Like, I didn't like who I was living with.
Yeah, true.
I had the incident with our car.
Yeah.
Which then meant, like, I was out of uni for a while.
Yeah.
And so then people who I was growing close to on my course then were spending time with each other and I was off back home.
Yeah, it was
recovering, so I didn't get to form that bond. And so first year was difficult, but then the next 2 years of uni were amazing.
I think I've heard that echoed quite a lot, actually, even if you didn't get hit by a car. Sorry to keep referencing it, it keeps coming up. But I mean, I think it is a problem where it's because the first year of university is touted to be the like a really big freeing experience and the best year of your life or whatever, that a lot of people end up feeling very dissatisfied. Or if, you know, you're living with, if you go out and live in halls of residence, you're living with strangers who you very easily could not get along with. And they could be vile people depending on who they were. I'm not saying if you're listening to this and I lived with you, sorry, I don't mean that. just like, I'm just a hype spitball in here. But as you go on, you feel more settled and, you know, you could very easily make many more friends in later years. And I think both of us did. And, you know, finally establish yourself a bit better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
First year is strange because it's such a unique experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the living situation and everything that's going on is just unlike anything else that you will experience. Because then after that, you know, we moved into a house with people that we actually knew.
Yeah, didn't have to go and talk to strangers anymore if we didn't want to.
Yeah, and you're doing a course that you are now familiar with, and you sort of you understand how everything fits into place. What's going on? How does this all happen? And you're free in the world, but you actually understand how to do that now. So that's why I personally think that's definitely way better than first year.
Yeah. First year is strange because, like we said on the friendship episode, our very first episode, I think I said this then, that, like, very few times in your adult life do you get thrust into an entirely blank slate of a situation where you know absolutely nobody around you, potentially moving to a new workplace or something. But you know, the first year of university, getting thrust into halls of residence somewhere is entirely about making friends with those people, with those strangers around you, all the same age, all in the same boat, basically. So it is a very strange thing. And if it works well, then you'll probably have a great time. And if it doesn't work well, which is very possible, then you probably won't have as fun a time. Mm. And, you know,
and I was very fortunate that I knew a few people who were going to the same university.
Absolutely.
I got away with that a little bit.
And that was good. It worked out. So would you say, to recap, now we have, you, for reference, I have just graduated from university, my 4 years, and you have been out of university for a year and working in the working world. Which of those years would you said university year was your favourite, or the best year of your life, or maybe earlier? Could you pin it down
It's just so hard because I always think about how, you know what, I wish I was a child still. Because everybody talks about freedom and whatever, but, oh, you're so free as a child. like, depending on what your childhood was like, I guess. But, you know, I had a very good upbringing. And so, you know, like, sure, you're living with your parents. They're doing a lot of things for you. And for some people, that feels restricting. But you don't have, like, any responsibility. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You can just be who you want to be and do what you want to do. What is up with that? Let's bring that back, please.
It's true. It's I mean, this is a difficult one as well because, you know, again, everyone's life is different. And unfortunately, some people won't have had as, won't be as fortunate in their upbringings or, you know, circumstances, I guess. So we are very privileged and lucky to have that. And yeah, I agree. It's a strange freedom. It's a strange freedom because you don't appreciate it either, necessarily.
Exactly.
Whereas maybe being retired, to jump forward.
Yes!
No work, no school.
Bring it to me.
Maybe that's the freest.
I think that's the thing I find hardest about working, is you just don't get free time.
Yeah.
It's gone. Bye. And I mean, I would have more free time if I didn't work 6 days a week. That's on me.
That is on
you. It's like, it's the summer holidays now, and I've written a list of all the things that I just want to spend my time doing, because I've got so long off, and I'm like, right, I've got full days now. Do the things that you really enjoy doing. Read a book. I'm going to read a book, John. That's what I'm going to do. And I think that's the hardest thing, because uni, I had very little contact hours, so that means I wasn't actually at uni a lot of the time. They were expecting me to, like, read things
read a
when
book?
I was home instead. Like,
who would do that?
Read essays and stuff, which, come on now.
No, thank you.
So, I wasn't in a lot, so I had a lot of time to sat around doing the things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so then jumping from that to working full-time 6 days a week is like, whoa, okay. So I definitely, so far, have enjoyed university more than that.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that, you know, I'll get into the swing of it and find that balance. Because it's not even been a year.
Work is such a strange... Yeah, working a full-time job, not that I have ever worked a full-time job, but, you know, I will be, in theory, soon, sort of. It's a strange... It must be strange because... Without it, it must feel like you have far too much time, or, you know, if you indefinitely had no, like, entirely your free time off, you probably lose a sense of purpose and, you know, what are you doing? But doing work all the time is probably, you know, it's a lot. So you probably want a, I don't know what I'm trying to say now. 4 day working week, sound good?
Yes. This is all over my Twitter.
Yeah.
This is all my Twitter is.
I mean, I've seen people studies. Apparently it's good. Apparently it works. More efficient employees. Happier people.
Well, yeah. Because you don't come in on Monday and are like, oh my God.
I've got 5 days
of
this.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very nice to be like, I am financially independent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's cool. And I do enjoy what I do a lot of the time. It's just the fact that you come home and it's like, there we go, I've worked, woohoo. And then you're like, oh God, what's the time? Oh, I need to sleep because otherwise I'm going to be tired in the morning. Ah. Yeah, that sort of panic.
Yeah, that's not the funnest.
I think the saddest thing about getting older is that people spend so much time thinking, oh, I can't wait till I'm older. And then all of a sudden you're at a point where you're like, God, I wish I wasn't this old.
Yeah.
How horrible is that? That's how lot of people think,
I'm sure there
including
are, me. It's a very rare moment when someone thinks to themselves genuinely, I am the right age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost always want to be a little bit older, a little bit younger, or, you know, a lot older or a lot younger. And, you know, there's certain things, because obviously we're very lucky. Again, we're relatively healthy, able-bodied, and as you get older, that's going to change, potentially.
Yeah.
Either through, you know, an accident, or that's a horrible thing. Well, strange thing to speculate on. But, you know, we might not always be this... We certainly won't always be this fit and active. Mm. But then maybe, you know, like you say, retirement, pretty freeing. Especially you've got all that money. Maybe yeah. If you didn't earn all that money, it's not so good.
That's what scares me about the future as well. Mm. It's like, a lot of what I do for fun is based on me being fit and healthy.
Yeah.
Ah! And I'm going to get old at some point. Like, I think this at my weekend work where I teach dancing and singing, I think, at what point am I going to get to an age where I go, actually, I physically can't do this anymore? Yeah.
Gosh.
Because me and the teacher already get to an end of the lesson. We're like, oh, my God. That was a lot. And the kids are fine. They're, like, bouncing off the walls. But
well, that's it's kids, just isn't a lot. It? Yeah, that is a lot.
And a lot of lessons we're like, look, give us a break. We're old. But, yeah, it saddens me when I hear children being like, oh, I can't wait until I'm however old. Yeah. And it's like, no, slow down, child.
Enjoy the years.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, yeah, I'd say that's why people call the point we're at, you know, in theory, the prime of your life, because you're as active as you can be, in theory. You know, especially at uni, like you say, don't have to work full time. But, you know, it still never feels quite right.
What if we've peaked, John? I don't think we have.
I don't think I have. Sorry, that makes it sound like I think you have.
Excuse me.
I don't think you have either. It's a strange thing, because it also depends what you aspire to. For me, I aspire to be a very old and wise physics professor. So, you know, I'm going to peak at 60. That's the dream.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a strange thing. It sort of depends on your progression. Because obviously, if your career is what you look forward to, and that for a lot of people, that is what they like, you know, everyone's like, oh, what am I going to be when I grow up? You're not going to be it. Mm. You're very likely, unless you're a sportsman, I guess, a sports person, you're probably not going to be that until, you know, you're middle-aged or older.
Mm. And also, that's allowed to change. I wanted to be a vet when I was a child.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
A vet?
A vet?
Come on.
I can't see you.
That would take a lot of years in education.
That's true.
Nah, mate. I'm over it. Got over it very quick.
Vets are a popular child choice, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Because they love animals.
Animals. Yeah. Fluffy animals.
Love animals. Hmm. Certainly, well, you'd make a mint if you were.
True.
Mm.
You know what? Hang on a second. Maybe child me was on something late? There.
Oh, dear.
So you would say that the best age for you has been, like, recently?
So far, definitely.
Yeah.
I think perhaps... Even then, even looking back to first year of university, well, it probably, like, I had the most time, like, because as the course went on, and obviously, you know, the last year and a half has been stricken with lockdowns and things, which has been its own kind of sad. The first year was very free, very fun, and, yeah, a strange mix of emotion. But also, looking back on myself, I feel like I'm a different person since then, in a sense. Mm. I feel like I've matured since then in multiple ways. So it's hard for me to say that was the best, because I feel the most like the most me like I feel is now, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
So I'm enjoying now. Now's going pretty good. So I'm going to stake on 22.
Woo!
I think that's lockdown dependent. I think the first year that, you know, once the world reopens, that'll be a pretty great year. But, like, it's not there yet. And even though we've stopped restrictions here, we're not there yet, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, we're not.
Get
me that second vaccine and we're on to something.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to say that this is the best now while we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, it's so difficult. I want to say I haven't peaked yet in that sense. I want to say, you know, I'm still very optimistic for my future And, you know, it's going to keep going on up and up, baby. This is the best age right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you agree or disagree?
I think what makes me question it a bit is, like, I'm happiest with myself now.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because I am me now, aren't I?
You are you.
So that makes sense.
Well, so that's an important distinction, I think, because I think a lot of people might look back on how they were before and regret things that changed them from that. But it's good. It's a good thing to think, I'm happy with me now.
I also feel like everything that, you know, I strive towards in life is just trying to get me closer and closer to what life was like when I was a child.
Mm.
You know, you're fighting to get that freedom, fighting to get that level of ease and, like, that you feel safe and secure.
Yeah.
And finding moments to just genuinely be fully just happy and be like, wow, look at these amazing things in my life. And I just don't think you get that sort of wow factor anymore that you did as a child, when you just would go places and do things and be like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Do you think you will reach that point? Do you think?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Okay. Is that retirement? Is that when you're free of work?
Not necessarily, but just, you know, because I'm so young and, like, new to the world, like, as in the fully we're out here world.
Yeah.
I don't have that security yet. I feel like that's the thing that's missing.
Is security.
You know, things can change for me literally any second still. I'm still in a temporary house, you know,
with
people that I really like living with, but who aren't going to live with me forever, you know?
You're not settled down. I get it.
So constantly in my head, I'm thinking about where I'm next going in life. I can't just sit down and go, this is my life.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Okay. No, you make a very, very good point. I think.
Thank you.
Let's say in 10 years, 20 years, if we are settled down in a house that we own and married and have a family of some description, you know, that would be a completely different outlook. And you appreciate the person you were when you were 22, but, you know, wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a very good point. I like that a lot. So it's all up and up, baby. Got the future to look forward to. And so should you, if no matter what age you are listening to this.
I've been so optimistic. I kind of hate it.
I love it. You've turned a new leaf.
Ugh.
I've rubbed off on you.
Maybe I don't like myself now.
Oh, no. We were getting so close. Ah. What a strangely introspective and wholesome episode of our world-famous podcast, The Friendship
Quest. I think editing Casey will listen to it and be like, ugh.
Ugh.
Who do you think you are?
Ah, dear. Well, I don't think we have a conclusive answer, dear listener.
Well, how could we?
Before
how Ask could me on we? My deathbed.
Oh, dear.
See what I say then.
We shall record it for all time. And posterity.
Hmm.
Hmm. Have it on my tombstone. I peaked at 22. Oh, dear.
Can confirm.
So, there we have it. A semi-answer to a semi-question. But, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And let us know what you think the best age is. Mm. It would be very interesting to hear what our listeners say, because I imagine a lot of them are younger, some older.
So we do have quite a few older listeners, yeah.
Appreciate any wisdom you can pass down through to us, or any insights you have from as your younger selves. So please do get in contact at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com or via TikTok at @KatieHBTheatre, where hopefully Katie will lovingly craft a video for you to deposit all of your thoughts onto.
Maybe.
Mayhaps.
I'm going to try.
We'll see. But anyway, thank you for listening. Any final thoughts, Katie?
Be positive.
Whoa, Katie.
Ew.
So out of character.
Well, it's the only thing that will keep you going in life, isn't it? Ugh.
you got to look forward to the future because you never know what's going to hold. And that's why we're optimists. So yeah. We're in through.
Sadly, that's the only way you can get through it all.
Oh, okay. It's starting to sound sadder now.
Can't help it. It's my natural state.
Fair enough. I think that's a healthy compromise of our ideals.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard.
I appreciate it.
Try your best.
Try your best. And don't forget that your true age is something that only I know, and I'm not going to tell you.